Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Luke chapter 1. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. Luke chapter 1 is our text today. We have all kinds of people here at North Central. All people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds, live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married. Some have kids, some don't have kids. Many in our room today are believers, but not all. But we all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is wonderful. Mary and her song. You know, Mary was handpicked by God. At some point, God is going to come to you. And will you respond the way Mary responded? Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord," in Luke 1:38. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. And then she made this astonishing statement. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Merry Christmas. I think the Christmas message comes directly to every one of us. And the Lord is calling us, and the question is, will our response be the same response that Mary gave? Now, it's very interesting. We have been examining the lineage of Jesus all during this month. This is a period in the month of December of Advent, where we anticipate the coming of the Messiah. It's a way we learn about what Bethlehem is all about in the birth of our Lord. Genesis predicted that a Savior was going to come. The prophets in the Old Testament and in that period of time foretold it. And yet the people rejected God's message over and over and over again. And what did the Lord do? He sent prophets. And that's what the prophets did. They brought the people back to the message of God. And so they rejected his message again. And you know what the Lord did? He sent more prophets. I mean, the whole Old Testament is about all these prophets. Most of it is about these prophets preaching to God's people. And we know his intention was that God would use his people to get the message of God to the whole world. Finally, there was silence. For 400 years, there was silence. And then all of a sudden, this angel Gabriel appears. And he says to the parents of John the Baptist, he says, "You're going to have a son," to Zacharias and Elizabeth. "You're going to have a son named John, and he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah." And then we come to our passage today where he announces that this baby would be born to Mary, and he would be the Savior of the world. Now, this Christmas, our study has taken a unique twist. Not only have we anticipated the coming of the Savior, but we have taken note of some pretty unusual people that are the ancestors of Jesus. And as we've looked at that, we've realized that they are unusual because of their background. Some of them because of their nationality, because of their previous religions. They're unusual because of their personal baggage. Their personal baggage in their life, okay? Problems, problems, problems. Now, y'all are looking at me all pious, okay? We've looked at three of them already, Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. Interesting. Now, what does all this unique study about the lineage of Jesus tell us? All right, three things. Number one, it tells us that we can all be included in the gospel story regardless of our background. The gospel story is the Christmas story. Merry Christmas. You can be a part of what God is doing in the world. And I think that this lineage study has helped us to realize that here are these people with these very unusual backgrounds, interesting backgrounds. I mean, some of these stories are hard to read in church. Now, we studied them diplomatically, but we studied them. So it tells us that we can be included. So I want you to know, no matter what you're going through, listen to me, no matter where you've been, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone, because Jesus Christ came for you. Can I tell you that? Jesus Christ came for you. And by the way, this is a happy, happy time, but it's not always a happy, happy time. There are a lot of people hurting in this world. It's like one pastor said one time, he said, you're either headed into trouble, you're in trouble, or you're just coming out of trouble. Life is full of trouble, the Bible says. Job said that. Life is full of trouble. But this Christmas message tells us no matter where you are, no matter how you're hurting, I saw two of our members in the hospital yesterday. Two of our members in the hospital. There are people in the hospital. There are people who have just gotten bad news. There's people that are without family members this Christmas for the first time. No matter what your problem, this lineage is shouting at you and shouting at me that God wants us included. Merry Christmas. Number two, there is no sin that can't be overcome by the grace of God. Say this after me. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Merry Christmas. If there was ever a message of Christmas, it would be the message of this. No matter what you've done, no matter how sin has ravaged you, and by the way, you committed it. Let's don't candy coat it. Right? Let's don't candy coat it. Let's get honest. If you saw on that screen up there everything I'd ever done, I'd crawl out of here under the door. If you saw on that screen everything I'd ever thought, I'd crawl under that door. But here's the message of Christmas. The Lord still wants to give me grace. And he wants to give you grace. Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and now this Mary. So there's no sin that can't be overcome. Number three, in God's sovereignty, his overtures of love and forgiveness are to be responded to by an act of trust. You say, oh, Pastor, now you're saying I need to do something. You know what? You're right. Because of the overtures of God's love, he continues to give overtures of love in your life through the people you know, through the Word of God that changes our life. He's giving you overtures in your life, but overtures of love and grace. But you need to respond. We've learned that from this lineage. that these people, when God reached to them, they made an act of faith. Okay? So that's what we've learned. Now, Mary was a teenager who was engaged or betrothed to a man named Joseph. She was from Nazareth, a sort of undesirable little town in Galilee. This was not in Judah. Judah was where most of the history of Israel took place over centuries. This was in Galilee. This was a little, we used to use this term, a little podunk town. You know what that means? Y'all are all shaking your head because you are from one, aren't you? You are from one. You're a little you're from a little podunk town. I told Mr. Cheshire this morning in Sunday school, I said, man, Nazareth was like Welborn, Florida. Y'all ever been to Welborn? If you know where Welborn, Florida is, raise your hand. Okay, I got about maybe 30 people in here. I did a funeral for Virginia Windsor. You remember that, Paul? Paul was her deacon for many years, right? And he would go over and take her the Lord's Supper. And I'd go see her too. But Paul saw her a lot more than I did. Anyway, I did her funeral. And she was from Welborn, Florida. So I got up, dummy me. I got up and said, where in the world is Welborn? You know, I was trying to, you know, just kind of connect with the people I was preaching to and everything. Man, when that service was over, about half that congregation, you've never been to Welborn, preacher? I mean, they let me know where Welborn was. Well, Nazareth was like Welborn. It was a little town. Now, listen to this. Most Jews looked down on Nazareth because of the mixture of the Jews and Gentiles there. Not only had God overlooked Judea, but he overlooked Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the main town, and he chose Nazareth to be from where Mary was from. Nazareth was not, do you know this? I didn't realize this. Do you know that Nazareth was not even mentioned in the Old Testament, nor the writings of Josephus, which are not inspired, but he was a Jewish historian that talked a lot about the things of God in that period of time. He was a historian. The rabbinical writings, Nazareth is never mentioned. It was a non-town that nobody noticed. Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 46 said this, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I think the Lord is saying to us, Merry Christmas. Where are you from today? You from some big metropolis that everybody knows about, or are you from some little place? Doesn't matter. The Lord is sending you a message, Merry Christmas. Now, the Lord not only bypassed Judea and Jerusalem, but he bypassed the temple. You know, the temple was there. That was where the presence of God was. You would think that it would be announced in the temple that Gabriel would come, and he was the announcement. Gabriel was the announcement. I just saw John right here. I'm thinking, John, it's like Lake Butler. John jokes about being from Lake Butler. He doesn't joke about being from Lake. He's from Lake Butler. That's right. But my point is, he bypassed the temple, the center of the world for the presence of God. Instead of the temple, he goes to the lowly home of Mary, which was certainly not much. Most likely a peasant girl. Now, I've had this picture of Mary being from the aristocracy. Somehow, because I think of all the maybe the paintings and the manger scenes and everything, we think of Mary being like from the aristocracy or something. But you know, most likely she was a peasant girl. She was illiterate, except for the truth that she could remember from what she was told or memorized. From all indications, her life would not be extraordinary. She would marry humbly, give birth to numerous poor children, never travel farther than a few miles from home, and one day die like thousands of others before her, a nobody in a nothing town in the middle of nowhere. But God. But God gave her a song, and God handpicked her. Can I tell you this at Christmas? Get this. God is trying to handpick you. God is after you. Man, when I was a teenage boy and the Lord was speaking to my heart about salvation, I felt like I was the only one in the room. And I felt like what was amazing was I sensed that the God of this universe, do you understand who I'm talking about? The God who spoke the word and the stars came in place, that he was literally after little old me. That is what happened to Mary when the angel came and said, you are highly favored. That means you are graced. And so here we have the greatest news ever proclaimed in Israel came to the humblest of people. And can I tell you this? You say, man, I could never be in the family. I could never really amount to much for the Lord Jesus. Can I tell you this? You are a perfect candidate for Christmas. You are. So, in our passage today, you follow along. Let me just read some verses here. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. And here's verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now skip down to verse 46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in the God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Now, there's three things quickly. I want you just to write these down in your listening guide. Number one, Mary's astonishment. The Bible says she was highly favored. It means much graced. When you hear the gospel message, the overtures of love and grace from Jesus Christ, that is being much graced. Mary was much graced. The angel said she was highly favored. It does not indicate that she merited any of this grace. She didn't deserve it. She didn't earn it. It was just, she was just, God chose to bring that blessing upon her life, all right? It says, the Lord is with you. And then it says, in verse 30, it uses the word favor again. The same word about much graced. And this, note that word means it's a recipient, not a dispenser. You're not a dispenser of favor. You are a recipient of favor. Now, the Bible says she was troubled. It's the same word that was used of Zacharias in chapter 1, verse 12. It means to be disturbed. So she considered these things in verse 29. She contemplated it. It didn't make any sense that she could bear the Son of God. What would the people think? She was espoused, engaged to be married. How would the people in her life respond? And then Gabriel goes into a fivefold description of who Jesus was. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. Number two, number three, the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Number four, he will reign over the house of Jacob. Number five, forever. He will do that forever. So Here was Mary astonished. You should be astonished. I should be astonished. Merry Christmas. We should be astonished together that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to this earth to give us an overture of grace, of love, to provide a way of salvation because of our sin. All right, number two, quickly. We see her decision. It says in verse 37, nothing is impossible with God. And then it says in verse 48, she says, my low estate. She talks about her low estate in her song. Mary acknowledged her sinful condition. Mary responds with acceptance. She says, behold, the maidservant. The word maidservant means a bondservant. And the word behold is the word like lo. Remember in the old King James said, lo, I am with you always. That's the word behold. And it has with it the idea of seeing with your eyes. Basically, it was almost like Mary was saying, Lord, look at me. Look at me. I am going to be your bondservant. It was almost like she's saying, do you know what you're looking at here, Lord? The maidservant of the Lord. And then she says, let it be to me according to your word. And this is her decision. She put herself at God's disposal. Let it be to me according to your word. I hope that this Christmas, when you sense the overture of God's love at Bethlehem, the coming of Jesus, that you would say, Lord, let it be to me according to your word. F.B. Meyer heard some guys called the Cambridge Seven. C.T. Studd was a cricketer or a cricketer in England. He was the captain of the English cricket team, known in England as the greatest athlete in England. And he had surrendered and given all that up to go to China. And they were at Cambridge speaking, and F.B. Meyer was in the room, and F.B. Meyer sensed he had made a commitment to the Lord, but F.B. Meyer said, there's something different about these guys. So he went and saw C.T. Studd. He said, there's something different about you. And C.T. Studd said, have you given Jesus the lordship of your life? And F.B. Meyer said, oh, yes, I have. And then F.B. Meyer got under conviction. He went home. He said, My life is like a house of rooms. I've opened up all the rooms except a couple. I've got keys to rooms I haven't let Jesus in. And so F.B. Meyer got down on his knees, and finally, after wrestling with God, he said this to the Lord Jesus in prayer. He said, Jesus, he said, take all the keys. Take all the keys. You have all of me. And do you know that from that moment, his ministry was so blessed and anointed of God because he had said to the Lord, same thing Mary said, Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. Are you willing to say, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, the answer is yes. Now, let's be honest. Many times we dabble in Christianity because we've really not given him lordship. We're scared to. I found many young people and college students scared to really sell out to Christ, thinking, Lord, if I sell out, what are you gonna, you're gonna have me do something I don't want to do? Can I tell you this? Doing what the Lord wants you to do is a gazillion times better than anything you could think of doing. It's the most joyous life in the world to surrender 100% to Jesus Christ. So here's what Mary did. She made that response. She was astonished. But then she made a decision. She surrendered to the Lord. And then here's the third thing, Mary's worship. And in this amazing passage of Scripture, this is a song. We did a series at Christmas on this one, you remember? We did the songs of Christmas. And I think this Sunday last year was on this song. I think because it would be the one I would have chosen to do right before Christmas Day. Because this was Mary's song, the Magnificat. And she says in that passage verse 46, and Mary said, and if your Bible's like mine, it has it kind of indented in the Bible. It's a song. It's a part of literature, a little different. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. So she's singing in worship. And can I tell you this? This is Mary's worship. And folks, let me tell you, when Mary said, Lord, be it unto you according to thy word, when she totally surrendered, can I tell you this? Worship has never, it will never be the same than when you really can look the Lord in the eye. When you can lay your head on the pillow at night and say, Lord Jesus, you have all of me. That's really when you begin to worship. And that's what Mary did. And she wrote it all down. She says, my soul. Can I tell you something about that word soul? It's the immaterial part of man. This is the material part of man. This old red hair here. Well, it's not red anymore. This old skin right here. This bicep or lack thereof right here. Okay, all this. This is the material part of man. But when she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, she's not talking about the physical. She's talking about the real you. She's talking about what's inside of this old body. She's talking about the real you. And the real you, your soul, magnifies the Lord, is what she said. Then she says this, you have regarded my lowly estate. And the word lowly estate there is my sinful way. Now let me tell you about this word regarded. It means to gaze. Hey, have you ever thought about something? The omniscience of God is so amazing. I'm in this aisle. I'm going to come over this aisle a little bit. Have you ever thought about, I don't know, I need to get back in the middle. But anyway, in God's omniscience, he gives us individual attention. You know, God wrote the scripture, and it's for all of us, and we know about him through God's word. But do you realize that the word of God is a supernatural book? It's the only book that you can read and talk to the author at the same time. So it's a supernatural book. And through God's omniscience and his omnipotence, Mary says, you have regarded, you are gazing at me. Can I tell you this? I believe that this Christmas, God is looking, gazing at you. And he's gazing at me. And he's saying, you know what? I've gazed at you and I realize you're in your sin. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Let's don't candy coat it. In our rebellion, in our hatefulness, in the sin that is in us, that is in every man. It was inherited through the lineage of time. Dr. Vines used to say this. He'd say, when Adam fell, we all fell. And he'd say, some people don't understand that. Well, think about it like this. Think about a bowl of fruit. He says, Adam's the bowl. When the bowl falls over, all the fruit fell on the ground. When Adam sinned, you sinned. That is original sin through Adam. But let's don't stop there. You sinned by your own will. I know I did. I know I have. Well, I tell you what. And can I tell you this? I know enough about Scripture that I can look you right in the eye and say, I know you have too. And you look me right now and say the same thing. Mary says, you know who I am, Lord, and let you're gazing at me, and you didn't leave me where I am. You have regarded my low estate. A great theologian was asked one time, what is the greatest thought you've ever had? What is the greatest thought you think is out there? He thought for a minute. He said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Folks, that's about it. Merry Christmas. I want every one of you, when we say amen, I want you to walk out that door, and I don't want anyone in here to go out that door and say, God Almighty does not love me. I want you to know it. Now, you can turn your back on that love. You can decide you're going to be your own God. And by the way, that's really the dilemma. Who's going to run our life? Who's going to sit on the throne of our own heart? Old Bill Bright made a track and he put a throne and he said, the Christian life and life without Christ is exemplified by who's sitting on the throne. You have a throne in your life and you decide who's going to sit on that throne. But here's what I want to make sure you know. I want to make sure you know that you can be included. Tamar was, Rahab was, Ruth was, Mary was. I think the message of that is that we can be included. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So as we study this, we must accept the essential spiritual fact of the incarnation and the gospel. The Lord comes to needy people, those of us who are needy, those who realize that without him they cannot make it. Are you at that point? You say, well, I might just tack Jesus onto my life. I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm doing pretty good. Let me tell you something. In this life, you may give the facade. Hear me. You may give the facade that you're doing good. You got money. You got your bills paid. You've got the facade of that. And so you just want to tack Jesus on. But can I tell you where that's going to all stop? At death. That's going to all stop at death, because one day you're going to face an eternity. There's only one way to make it past death and be in a good situation. It's when you have Jesus. And so, the Lord comes to needy people, those who realize that without him they cannot make it, those who acknowledge their weakness and spiritual lack. The incarnation, salvation, resurrection. Christmas is not for the proud and self-sufficient. Christmas is for those who will repent. Christmas is for those who, like Mary said, you know my lowly estate, my sinful way. Oh God, you see it more than anyone else. I can fake it on the outside, but you know deep inside what I am, what I have. And yet you have regarded me. You're gazing at me. And Mary said, lo, behold me, Lord, I want to be your maidservant, and be it unto me. I put my life at your disposal. Can I tell you this? That's when peace comes. They sang about peace. Boy, peace is a loaded word in the Bible. Peace is something you can't purchase. So here we're reminded, it tells us, this lineage thing tells us that we can all be included in the gospel story regardless of our background. The gospel story is the Christmas story. There is no sin that can't be overcome by the grace of God. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And then in God's sovereignty, his overtures of love and forgiveness are to be responded to by an act of faith. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, by an act of faith, you trust in Jesus. That's an act of faith. Because of the overtures of God's love, you act in faith. If you're not sold out to Christ as a believer, you sell out. You give him all the keys. Lord, you're mine. You've got me. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.